welcome to the 48th episode of the I Ching with Clarity podcast, and thank you for listening. The reading this time is from Nina, and it's about, well, on the surface, it's about getting started making YouTube videos. And beyond that, it's about daring to become visible. I really enjoyed this one. I hope you will too. We shared some moments of real wonder. You've probably heard me talking before about how vitally important it is to pay attention to the I Ching's imagery in its own words. There are loads of books out there that say I Ching on the cover, but don't actually contain its words. Instead, what you get is whatever the author has decided they mean. This will frequently be promoted as easier to understand, adapted for the modern age, none of that obscure ancient imagery. And the trouble with all this is that you can't have a I Ching reading without the I Ching. So, yes, sorry, like I said, you've almost certainly heard me on this subject before. It's a hobby horse I've pretty much flogged to death by now. But this reading contains an extraordinary example of why I insist on it so much. The moving line in Nina's reading is 22 line 1, which says, "Making your feet beautiful, putting away the carriage and going on foot." I must have shared this line with dozens or hundreds of people over the years and talked about simplicity and humility and taking things one step at a time, and sometimes about revealing your process and so on. But I'd never known someone experience it like this before. And if I hadn't read out the text, shared the imagery, if I'd just limited myself to what I think I know it's about, that unique experience would have been lost. Anyway, here's our reading. Hey, Nina, thank you for sharing a reading. You said the question was, what do I need to know now?
You said, when you wrote to me, you said you were planning on starting doing tarot readings on YouTube.
Yeah. So is it easier for you to look at that one, or...?
Yes, yeah. That was what you originally asked about, wasn't it? And I think the answer talks about the specifics of that and also the bigger picture and what it represents.
Yeah, maybe that's easier and not too broad. Because when I normally speak to an intuitive, I like to just have an open question, like, what's important for me to know now? But I can see this might be more specific.
The you tends to, well, it has conversations. It answers your questions. Or rather, it answers the whole person, but through the question.
Cool.
So one kind of starts with the question, and then you see what that expands into.
Yeah, but okay, let's do the original, and I follow your lead.
So it's kind of what you need to know about starting tarot readings on YouTube. And from what you said, starting this is quite a big thing for you, because you don't want to be visible, or part of you doesn't want to be visible.
Yeah. Terrifying, actually.
Right.
To be seen and heard. I've been struggling with, at school, for instance, past days, a few years ago. I'm born in 78. And I just hated, even though I had done the homework, you know, when the teacher was going the round and asking, what was your answer? What's your answer to this and this? And I was like, I haven't done my own work. Because I just was terrified of the attention. Yeah.
Yes. School was 1 or 2 years ago as well. And I was born in 72. And more for social reasons than to do with teachers, but learning to be invisible, fade into the background and not be noticed.
Yeah.
It's a great protective reflex. And then the rest of life, it's really not so useful quite a lot of the time.
No, but it served its purpose, because we typically develop these wounds or these things when we are young. And like I wrote, my upbringing was quite chaotic. And it was safest just to be of service and be quiet and try not to be seen and just play it as small as possible.
Not being noticed. disappearing into the wallpaper. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, and I've gotten to know my own code the last few years, and I know that my core wounds, so obviously that is what I was supposed to get over, you know, outgrow.
Yeah.
Because in my code it is being the teacher and teaching in small groups, actually. So I don't dream about becoming a superstar or anything.
So hexagram 22. What you need to know about this next step. Hexagram 22, beauty and making beautiful, which is 100% about being visible.
Yeah.
What people see. And how you can, you know, change and beautify what people see, make it lovelier, make it more engaging. And then in the background to that, with the first line, changing is 52, stilling. Which is kind of the stability and calm that you need, I think, as an underpinning for that task. Probably so that you can do it without worrying about other people's reactions. So you can be slow and steady and in full control of your own progress and going one step at a time. And yes, sort of bounced all over the place by, oh my God, nobody clicked like on my video or whatever the hell it, you know, what are they going to think? So I look at 22, beauty, and then at 52, stilling, and then we can come to what's really the most direct answer, the most direct part of the reading, which is the moving line, the one that talks about stepping out of the carriage and going on foot, which is kind of lovely. So 22 first, beauty. Its name means something beautiful and shining. You know, like a horse's coat when it's really well groomed and the horse is really healthy, it gleams. The same word means ardent and energetic. So you get this picture of something really healthy and shining and full of energy. When you look at the moving lines, and you only have one of them, but you can read all of them to see kind of the theme and the story of the hexagram. And the story here is of a groom who is going to meet his bride. This is what he had to do back in old China. He would, you know, oil his beard and polish his horse's tack and, you know, get the best horses and so on and drive out to impress her and bring her home. So is this feel of present your best self, really showing who you are and what you have to offer? So it's not just making things look nicer for its own sake, but as part of communication. I find this one often has something to do with identity. It's sort of giving people an image so that they know who you are. You know, who's Nina? Oh, she's that tarot woman I saw on YouTube. No? Or people ask you, what do you do? Which is sort of code for who are you? And you say, oh, I'm a this and this.
Yeah.
And sometimes also that's what you say to yourself. And Hexagram 22 can be about that as well. Self-image that you...
Okay.
As well as what you present to other people. It's kind of interesting where this comes from. It comes from, and it's the other side of the coin from, the previous hexagram, which is 21, which is biting through. And that, yeah, the image there is about chewing and gnawing and biting your way through an obstacle. And you're grinning as if this rings some kind of bell.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, that's been... the last few years.
Ah,
grinding.
Yes.
And running around in circles trying to step into my purpose.
Yeah, it's gnawing and biting through and getting through the obstacles. The original image is of the teeth meeting.
Yeah, that's the last few years for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they've been great. They've been the hardest in my life, but obviously I've learned so much and shed so many previous versions of myself. So interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you get to the sequence from 21 to 22, which says things cannot carelessly unite and be completed. And so beauty follows. Beauty means adorning. So it's saying, you know, just getting it together, biting through to the truth, getting past the obstacles isn't the end. That's not the completion. It needs something to present it. It's kind of like a sacrament, I think. And lots of people are fond of saying, oh, Hexagram 22, it's all superficial. But it's necessary for us to be able to see things and relate to them. And people aren't just married because they say, oh, we're together now. They're married when there's a ceremony and maybe a white dress and, you know, a polished car or polished horse or whatever. When something visible is done to present this and make it real to people. And yeah, that works in all sorts of ways on all sorts of levels, I think, not just marriage.
Yeah,
but
I think,
you know,
also it correlates
with
the question. Just to clarify, that
really
I
does, yes.
Like I wrote to you, that I don't see tarot to be like the star, because I'm not like a professional tarot reader in any way. I'm still learning, but I will use the cards as a tool for what to speak about, and then with focus on, I think, shadow desires, what we typically call blocks and restrictions in the self-help realm.
Yes.
I rather see them as shadow desires that we're not aware of, but how they
interfere. That's a really interesting way to describe it. Yes, makes a lot of sense.
I actually realized that when I wrote to you, I was channeling, so yeah.
Ah.
So I got a lot of answers, actually, just by answering your questions.
Just by writing and, yes, that kind of thing often happens, I think. Yeah.
So it's really interesting because I'm kind of ready to take the new me, or not the new me, but actually the one that I've been all the time, but that's been hidden behind all these layers of the persona and, you know. So
and
the authentic me, I guess.
Yes. The undyed version, I think. The oracle would say.
The immortal,
just,
or
just what, undyed, like cloth that hasn't been coloured with lots of patterns.
Oh,
and
yes,
you just
yes,
see
yes,
the
yes.
fabric of it. Yes, that. So the oracle says, beauty, creating success, there's small yield from having somewhere to go. And having somewhere to go is just, you know, it's not this is my goal and my sort of 5-year plan, but it's, this is where I want to go with this. This is the direction I want to explore. And it is good to have one of these, because it's good to have a reason why you are generating the image and polishing it and making it graceful and lovely and approachable and sympathetic and so on. It's only a small yield, it says. And I think that's just because this is kind of how this works. There's a single small purpose. The groom is going to court one woman and he has to ask himself, does she like beards? You know, and adapt accordingly. And one has to make things beautiful and communicative for here and now and present needs, and, you know, something small and focused. That's the only way it can work. Advice you might come across if you read about, oh, just selling things online, is that you need to talk and write to one person all the time. Whereas what you have in your mind, if you're sending an email to a list of thousands or putting something on YouTube, is I'm talking to all of you. You have to have in mind this one person that you're talking to, and what they need from you and who they need you to be and what will allow them to connect with the truth that you're offering.
Yeah.
I think that's the small yield. Another way the year gives you pictures to look at is with trigrams. Are you familiar with them? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No. That's fine. You may remember seeing your hexagram and it's a stack of six lines.
Yeah.
Yep. You break that into two groups of three lines. A group of three lines is a trigram. There are eight of them. And whereas a hexagram represents something a bit more complex or human, the trigrams represent elemental forces and ways of moving and being. Heaven and earth and mountain and thunder and fire and water and lake and wind. So every hexagram has these two trigrams making a picture. And beauty is made of fire fire and light inside and mountain above. So I look at that and I imagine a fire at the base of a rocky overhang and the flames making flickering patterns on the rock. So the rock is solid, but there are different projected patterns of light and shade on it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a bit like video, to be honest. Light on the screen, isn't it? Yeah. Also, I sometimes wonder about volcanoes and molten rock. It's not a very volcanic hexagram, but maybe somewhere underground, you know, the rock is being reshaped. So on the outside is mountain. Mountain is solid. Mountain isn't going anywhere. This is what doesn't change. This is settled. This is fixed. And since it's at the top, it's on the outside. It's like, these are the rules. This is what's solid in the world. But on the inside, there's light. Eyes are open. The fire is shining. And look at all the changing light and shadow and patterns that's bringing out on that solid rock. So it's kind of bringing the solid rock to life, making it alive. So it's not just this is there and that's how it is and that's that. And also, of course, the mountain is containing the light. The light isn't shining out over the whole world. It's just lighting up this bit.
Just a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you explaining now the trigrams in general or what you could read from?
These are the trigrams in hexagram 22. This is the picture of beauty. It's the fire shining up on the rock. Yeah, sorry, I should have said.
And I also recognize that I noticed that I am nodding. But this is an audio recording, so yeah. But for those that are listening, I sit here and nod and I agree.
This is good. Yes. Anyway. Yes. If I start saying things that sound like complete Greek, do ask questions.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, the description of this picture, the image text says, below the mountain is fire, beauty. A noble one brings light to the many affairs of state, but does not venture to pass judgment. The noble one is like the model person, the one who is learning and doing better and better as they go along. And they are making the best possible use of the trigram energies present. Because it describes it in terms of someone who is trying to govern a country. But you can imagine the affairs of state in terms of how you run things in your own life, your setup, your rules. And it casts light. Your kingdom. Exactly. Yeah. And it casts light on all that. It brings intelligence and inner illumination to bear on that. And doesn't venture to pass judgment because this is beauty and it's always relative to the people involved and the communication that you're trying to make happen. Mm. So I think it's a picture of keeping things open and alive and, oh, it looks different today and it looks different again. And it's not set in stone.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, sometimes I think of hexagram 22 as a bit like a dressing up box. You know, a serious and important and sacramental dressing up box, but it's also potentially kind of fun. Yeah.
The only constant is change in reality.
Yes. And, you know, who am I talking to? What do I want to show them? how can I make it beautiful and easy and welcome to them? So
does it speak to, like, the importance of addressing the correct audience instead of just getting up on top of a soapbox in town square and shouting the truth to anyone, but more...
Yeah, I think
you... adjusting the message to the proper...
Well, I think for there to be a message, it has to be for someone specific. Otherwise, maybe it's just a truth, which is not quite the same thing.
No.
So that's hexagram 22. And yeah, it's time for being visible.
Consciously fitting.
Yes, absolutely. Consciously and maybe playfully and in small, specific, lively ways. But with this background, the underlying hexagram 52, stilling, the second hexagram, sometimes that's what you bring to bear on the task. And it can also be like the personal chapter heading of your life. Here's what it's about for you. Here's what time it is for you. It's time to be still. The name of this one literally just means stopping and something immovable. And its trigram picture has mountain above and mountain below. So it's just a mountain range. They're just there. And this is kind of what mountains are noticeable for. They don't move. The clouds move past the mountains. The water flows over the mountains. The people walk over the mountains. The mountains are just mountains. Yeah. This sounds relatable. I mean, you're looking.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
Like I said earlier, I've been spinning around. Well, I've been learning a lot. I've been working on myself, but I've also let myself be distracted a lot. And active mind, you know, all the monkeys flying around in there. I've had a major shift lately in terms of the stillness inside.
Yeah.
Or the monkey mind. And also acknowledging that I can be active, but have more stillness in my life, more calm.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also feel quite, even though it's, you know, terrifying to think about when I will do the first video and upload it for public view on YouTube and my website. I know that I also feel calm because this is the way to go.
Yeah. That sounds like the hexagram.
It's quite a paradox, but
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
So I feel calm, and I'm not even going to address all the chaos that is in my life. But still, I'm like standing. I'm just standing here, quiet, and it's storming around me, and it's lovely. I'm not part of any drama.
The hexagram before the one this comes from is 51, which is shock, which is thunder doubled, thunder and earthquake. And sense of, oh my God, I thought this was the ground. Where did it go? And things that go crash, 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 and leave you jumping all over the place. But it's also about, you know, when you've been sort of sent bouncing and panicking all over the place, finding what you hold on to, what's still true, what hasn't changed, what endures. So yes, 52 is stilling. It's something we need as a response to 51. It reminds me of the big drums in the orchestra. You know, they hit them and the drum skin vibrates and vibrates and vibrates until someone puts their hands on it, damps it, and then it's still, and then it's quiet. And then we reach 52. Things cannot end with stirring up, says the sequence. Stop them. And so stilling follows, which means stopping. Very simple, very obvious, very hard.
Yes, but just feels so right.
My
God. Yeah, it's really fitting. It's like I've been jumping from one dark hole to another the last couple of years. In a good way. I mean, it's been rough, but it's been necessary. You know, the dark night of the soul. Being in between two footsteps. Lightning strikes, tower moment.
Yes.
And now it's, it's stillness now. So, it's really fitting. My God.
Yeah. Yes. These oracle things, they work, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Absolutely. Yes.
So the oracle for this one, stilling your back, not grasping yourself, moving in your rooms, not seeing your people, not a mistake, not grasping yourself. Actually, Legg, in a very old translation, said losing all consciousness of the self, which is quite striking. I think of it as... You know, stilling your back and not kind of spinning in circles trying to see what's in the middle of it.
Yeah.
You know, not chasing your tail.
Nope. I'm done chasing my tail for a while.
Yes. Sort of chasing down one's thoughts and trying to catch them like you catch a sort of fugitive animal or something.
Yeah.
It's a hexagram that's associated with meditation, funnily enough.
Which is the theme? Meditation is the theme for the live workshops that I'm going.
Right.
I'm in the process of setting up. Yeah.
Superb.
So,
Yeah. And moving in your rooms, not seeing your people, not meeting with people, which is sort of reminiscent, actually, of having a little recording studio. Because you're reaching out, but you're also in your own space.
Yeah.
There isn't the two-way exchange of conversation. I think it's easy to get this hexagram and think, but I ought to be self-aware and I ought to be open to people and in dialogue because being social and responsive is, you know, what a good mature person does. And you're not supposed to turn your back and not see people. But
kind of like that.
There is,
I love my cave.
Yes, and there is definitely a time for the cave in the mountains. Which is why this says it's not a mistake. Not grasping yourself, not seeing your people, there is actually nothing wrong with that. No. It doesn't mean you're divorced from the essential flow of things or anything. It just means you're still.
Yeah.
And it can be a very, very necessary response to hexagram 51 times, to storms and shocks.
Yes. I feel the storm is over, actually. Yeah.
And the first thing to do if you're falling is to stop. Check your momentum. The commentary on the oracle is rather lovely. It says, a time for stopping, so stop. A time for moving, so move. Beginning things or resting, not letting go of the time. Your path shines out. Stillness, stopping. You stop where you belong.
Yeah. Wow, that's super, super fitting. Yeah, because I have trained myself to
not rush. If I feel the urge to rush,
I just drop everything and do something completely different. Tidy up some clutter or whatever.
Yeah, and a time for stopping, so stop. It doesn't say I'm moving, so I have to keep moving, or something shoved me, so I'm moving, or I've never gone that way, so I'm stuck. It's just time to go, time to stop.
Yeah.
It's very free, this hexagram.
Yeah.
Its hidden core is liberation, not being sort of on strings and yanked different ways. Its image, like I said, two mountains, joined mountains, stilling. A noble one reflects and does not come forth from her situation. It's very quiet, self-contained, it's not trying to escape anything. So it doesn't say, this is terrifying, I must run away. It says, this is terrifying, I'm scared. How interesting.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Yeah.
Yeah, no, running away doesn't. Mm. It will catch up with you, whatever you're
yes.
running from.
Mm. Yes, and it doesn't even say, I'm scared, I have to change that at once. I have to stop myself being scared, or I have to fix things. Just sits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yes. And I've also noticed that when I face something that I have been dreading to do for a while, like problems within quotation marks.
Mm-hmm. Yes, quotation marks.
Is that the problem tends to have disappeared.
Huh.
So, or the obstacle, you know. You see that, oh, to do this, I need this, and I have to have this in place. And then finally, when I finally get to the point and actually doing what I've been dreading to do, it's there are no obstacles.
Funny so. How that works. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, lovely. Yes. So, yes, that's the underlying stillness. And what connects beauty and making beautiful to stillness is the first line of 22, as if stillness is the very first step to making beautiful, which is interesting. And it says, making your feet beautiful, putting away the carriage and going on foot. Which, oh, it's lovely. I do like this oracle. And it's, I think it takes that stillness and seclusion of hexagram 52 and your little recording room, and it makes that a starting point. And it says, you get your feet on the ground and you feel the ground underfoot and you look after that and pay attention to that. And, yeah, maybe also make it visible. Make your feet beautiful. Hmm. You get this one. What's it like to travel in a carriage rather than walking? What's the difference?
I prefer to walk and be mm-hmm. in movement, actually. I don't like to sit still. So to sit in the carriage for me is like uncomfortable and back hurts. And
oh, that's really interesting. I never thought of it that way, that if you're walking, you're moving, and if you're in the carriage, you're sitting still. Mm.
Yeah, even though you are traveling, still.
Yes, that's not the first thing I would have thought of. It reminds me a bit of car journeys as a small child, where they stuff you in the back seat and drive out the gate and fall asleep, and then wake up and you're somewhere completely different and say, are we nearly there yet? And you have no concept of what happened in between. Yeah. And you climbed in at point A and you climb out at point B, and in between times, you know, it's a blank. If you walked it, you saw and heard and smelled everything along the way.
Yeah, exactly. It's more of an, you experience more.
Yes. And you're in motion and your own process is how you get there rather than somebody else's apparatus. Mm.
Yeah.
Also, being in a carriage is more dignified. That was quite important in early China. To ride in a carriage meant you had a certain status.
Oh, yes.
Mm. You would not give up lightly. And I suppose it's different for the people outside the carriage as well. You know, you weren't there and then suddenly there you are, all shiny and with no road dust on your clothes. Mm. Whereas if you walked, you know, they saw you coming, or maybe they came along with you. Making your feet beautiful, it's really concentrating on what's enabling you to take one step at a time. And it's the opposite of that joke about, you know, pandemic Zoom meetings. Just the sort of pictures you saw of someone who is dressed up for the office, you know, shiny, sharp suit down to the waist, and below that it's pajamas. because no one can see that bit. This is sort of the opposite of that. The feet are the important bit. You're seeing the whole person.
And just a quick remark regarding, first of all, the feet and making mm-hmm. them beautiful.
I've had some massive complexes regarding my feet since childhood.
Huh.
My
family used to tease me because my big toes were big. They thought, I don't know, but it's a culture, I don't know.
Families are weird, aren't they? The things they come
yeah,
up.
Both the parts of my family are, it's just putting people down, you know. It's not about uplifting. It's always, it's not a very nice climate. I don't have much contact with my family. but I don't know if it's a culture thing. But yeah, so when I moved to Spain in 98, I was 20 years old and it was really hot and I just couldn't even wear sandals because I didn't want to show my feet. But when I moved to Greece, it was so incredibly hot that I had to get myself some sandals. But I was struggling, like, just to show my toes and my feet. So that's been an issue
for
many years, until a friend actually told me, when, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, and she's like, you know what, Nina? I've been admiring your son's feet, and obviously yours, because they look the same. Like, what? and she just described it in the way that I'm like, yeah, I can see it. I've always had a focus on my son and his feet, that they are beautiful and take you from A to B and, you know, travel through life. And
yeah,
so he has a very good relationship.
It's being really quite literal about the feet.
Yeah, and I used to go to pedicure before. I still do when I have the chance. And it was embarrassing. I really hated it.
Yeah. I'm going to make a wild guess that when you finally got into the sandals, you were not followed around in the streets by crowds of people going, oh my God, look at her toes. Am I right?
Yes.
How can she show those? She should be ashamed.
And another thing regarding, you know,
having a shiny beard, like the Oracle says, and being well-dressed and not being the Zoom meeting character, but not being dressed to a Zoom meeting, but being complete, like well-dressed from top to bottom. That is actually also a big part of my code, divine code or divine design, whatever you want to call it. When I'm going to present something to others, it's super important that I am well-dressed, but not only like proper clothing, but also that I know what I'm talking about. Because when I do, I always shine. I've been speaking in, I used to be a flight attendant and standing in front of the whole airplane and greeting them welcome when I was cabin chief. And everybody was like, I had the attention of 200 people. And I always felt that when I was speaking in front of other people, that I was making a complete ass of myself. Pardon my language. But the feedback afterwards was like, wow, it's, you know, I never understood the feedback. It was so great. I still have people coming up to me from high school, the days of high school, like we said a few years ago. They remember when I was the one doing presentation of something in class, and I hated it. I didn't sleep for days up until, and, you know, and I felt that it went all horrible. And still today, people are like telling me, I remember, I loved it when it was your turn to do a presentation. I mean, you can speak about shoe polish. And so obviously when I was well prepared.
Yes.
But being singled out in the group, you know, if you attend something like a lecture in live, in the live audience, and the lecturer or the teacher is just pointing at someone random. Okay, you tell me something about blah, blah, blah. And not being prepared, and it's like, freeze. You're
being pinned to your seat, so yeah.
Yeah, and I've always admired those that just can take the attention and just go with it, but I'm like, nope.
The thing about making your feet beautiful is that they're going to go every step of the way, and people are going to see you doing this, so they can accompany you.
Yeah.
So it's not just, here I am and here is this completely polished thing that I have prepared for you. It's, here I am and I'm starting to walk down this road. Mm-hmm. And if you come with me, you can see how I walk. You can follow me every step of the way. And
walk by my side.
Yeah, exactly. And if we need to stop, we want to, you know, pause and look at something, then we can. Time for stopping, then stop. Time for moving, then move. So, yeah, it's not just a YouTube video that says, you know, I have prepared this. I have learned the script. Here is what this means. Here is what I have to tell you. It's here I am in the process of learning how to do this, and I'm engaging with this imagery, and here's what's coming up as I go along.
Yeah.
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 Not one of those readers who just sort of looks at the reading, puts it away and says, you know, you're going to meet a tall, dark man or whatever.
Oh my God, no.
I don't listen to any of those.
So yes, it's not just here's what it means, but this is the process of exploring it.
Yeah, and whoever is supposed to hear it will hear it.
Yes.
Because they will be timeless. So it won't be like a reading for Capricorn for the month of June.
Yes, I think this probably also argues against perfectionism, and I have to get this exactly right before it goes online.
Oh yeah, that's the one of my major challenges.
Just the feet, you know. It's not jumping out of the carriage at the destination with everything perfect and shiny.
No.
And, you know, go and make the worst video you will ever make in your whole life. Yeah.
And the goal is to be disappointed when I finish it and post it.
And then with any luck, the second one will be the second worst video you will ever make in your whole life. Exactly.
Yeah.
Previous versions of myself wanted to be on the carriage, you know, have everything perfect and polished and then present it to the world like the genius that I am.
I think they're the teacher.
So, yeah.
The guru, I think, steps out of the carriage.
I don't see myself as that.
Lovely and looks beautiful. And of course, the social media personality who, you know, never grew hair anywhere she didn't want to and has a perfect house and a child who never misbehaved in his life. And,
No.
Yes, again, no.
Not for me, no.
It's the feet, the process, and being connected and available and not shut away. Goes back to what I was thinking about the experience for the people who aren't in the carriage. It's not you just suddenly sort of descend as if from the clouds, but they saw how you got there. This more or less brings us to the end. What's jumping out for you from the reading?
So yeah, I'm grateful.
I highly appreciate to get to know the yin this way. Someone that is into human design and gene keys, they have also incorporated I Ching.
Yes, I've heard of it.
So, it's really interesting. And thank you for this opportunity. I don't have anything else. I think I've said what I had to say.
Yeah, I liked the way you could connect to the beauty coming from the time of gnawing and biting through and the stillness coming from the time of storm and earthquakes.
Couldn't have been described better. So,
And I've never known that line to be literally about feet. It's great.
I try to spend time every day having some time with my feet and look at them and just appreciating them.
Yeah.
So it's, because they are important and neglecting them for many years.
Yes. So there you go. Cherish your feet.
Yes,
a 3,000-year-old oracle told you should.
Can't go wrong then. No.
Yeah. Every step on the way. And I think the separation from others that comes with using YouTube is fine. Provided it's a starting point, but not a sort of shortcut, provided you're still with people on the road.
The purpose for the videos are actually so possible clients can have a look, like,
mm-hmm.
so they can ask me a question, and then I will do the same kind of thing. Just pull one or two or three tarot cards, and not focusing on the symbols or the astrology of it, but more like the subconscious, what comes mm-hmm. up there.
Yeah. This sounds interesting. Yeah. You must,
yeah.
yeah. You must send me a link to your first video.
Yes, I will do yes. so. Yeah.
Feet and all. Mm. Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Well, likewise. Really interesting. Loved it. Thank you. Can you have a lovely day and evening?
Thank you. So that was the reading. I hope you enjoyed it. Nina has published her very first video on YouTube, so I'll link to her channel from the show notes, which you can find at onlineclarity.co.uk/48. That's onlineclarity.co.uk/48. And if you would like to share a reading of your own on this podcast, which is always free, then you're very welcome to book yourself a session at onlineclarity.co.uk/share. onlineclarity.co.uk/share. Thank you again for listening, and I'll be back next month.